Hey guys, I'm Laurel Turner. I'm the host of The Review here at KCSU Fort Collins, and I'm also one of the producers. Some time ago, in early September, I had the opportunity to interview a man by the name of Woldezyan Mezgina. You probably haven't heard of him, and that's perfectly fine. He is the president of a company based here in Fort Collins called NRCE. And Wold and his people, they reached out to us at KCSU because Wold had published a book that they thought was worth sharing. And they were right. But in order to understand the impact and frankly, the really cool parts of this book that he wrote, it's very important to understand who Wold is.
My parents were small rural farmers and ranchers. However, although we had a village, we were living outside of a village about 10, 15 kilometers out of the village because we were ranchers also, not only farmers, but also ranchers. Sometime when I was close to 6 years old, I was tending, like anyone else, goats, and I was running on a hill, and I fell down. And when I fell down, I shattered my right knee. And because of that problem, I went home. They took me home, and they trying to cure me using village medicines and so on, because there were no health center in the village and even in the nearby areas. I was there for quite a while, and it took 3 months before they have to take me to the hospital. And I went to the hospital, and of course my parents went with me. And when the doctor saw, the Italian doctor saw my knee, he said, "This is quite damaged," and that he says that the only way to save my life is by amputating my leg, my right leg, completely. And my parents, except my mother, agreed. They told him, "You are the expert, so there is nothing we can say." But my mother said, "No, you're not going to do that. You have to try first. Try to save my son, because my son is going to be a farmer and a rancher, and he has to work 14, 15 hours a day. And if you amputate him, he will be unable to do the kind of work that waits for him in the village, and his peers will, will laugh at him. And one day, I'm sure, if he's amputated, he's going to commit suicide, and you have to try your best. If you can't do it, please tell me. I will take my son back with me and try whatever I have been trying to do." And the doctor could not believe the determination of my mother. And finally, he said, "Okay, I'll try." And he tried for over 10 hours. And he finally, did not amputate my leg. And I can still jog, and not running, but I can still jog, and I think a few miles per day, and I'm in good health right now. But what happened at that time, when I went to Asmara, I was staying for a short time after I left the hospital, after 3 months, and, my aunt said, "Maybe you should live with that, you have to go to school." But I said, "No, I'm going back to my village. I will tend my goats and my livestock." When I went there back to my village, my parents found out that I was not fully prepared as a person to do the kind of work necessary in the countryside. And they finally decided, when I was about 7 years old, to take me back to Asmara. And I went to school, and one after the other, to cut it short, after 3 years at the university in Addis Ababa, I went from Eritrea to Ethiopia for college. I got a scholarship here in the United States, and I came to Cornell University in 1970 and got my BS and MS there at Cornell. And I also received my PhD, and that was in civil engineering. My undergraduate was more or less in structural civil engineering, and my graduate or master's degree was in hydraulic engineering.
This story of Wold's, this powerful, vulnerable story, it's inspired all of his work, whether it's his company, NRCE, and all the amazing work they do with irrigation systems, or it's his work with Native American water rights, serving as an expert witness for the United States government. And more recently, he's produced a book. It's entitled How Sub-Saharan Africa Can Achieve Food Security. It's essentially a detailed, thought-out guide for how to alleviate the poverty in SSA that is only growing with time.
First of all, I am from Sub-Saharan Africa, and I need to do a payback for the origin of myself, because my origins are from Sub-Saharan Africa, and I need to help Sub-Saharan Africans. I have learned a lot here in the United States, tremendous experience, especially working with Indian tribes. We are currently working for more than 35 Indian tribes in their water rights and water resources development. And that has, you know, helped me, prepared me to understand both water resources development and irrigated agriculture, and also productivity in agriculture. And also the amount of time that I have worked in Africa, and I have seen many parts of Africa. But the main reason is really what is going on in Sub-Saharan Africa today. And that is, there is tremendous poverty in Sub-Saharan Africa. And I'm very concerned about the poverty in Sub-Saharan Africa. And I want to give my assistance to the people and governments in Sub-Saharan Africa, the knowledge that I've acquired. And I really believe that Sub-Saharan Africa can become sufficient in food, and it can achieve food security, and it even can go beyond food security into light industrialization. It is only, I believe, that only when Sub-Saharan Africa reaches its economy, grows the growth of its economy into what you call sustainable food security, cannot really take place unless these countries, the Sub-Saharan African countries, can ascend their economy to the initial stages of light industrialization.
And it's important to note that this problem isn't just about making more food. That would eventually crash the economies found in Sub-Saharan Africa. It's also about growing the entire economy and culture of the subcontinent. And Wold highlights a few categories in his book, and these are categories of things that are endemic to the culture that actually cause these problems. They are uncontrolled and rapid population growth, lack of agricultural production, and lack of proper resource management. All of these factor into and directly affect the historically extreme poverty of the subcontinent. But as Wold himself points out, the poverty situation hasn't always just been in Africa. It's just that over time, it's gotten worse.
Mindful of this situation, leaders of the world get together and agreed upon and committed tremendous amount of resources to free many of the developing countries, to free their population from extreme poverty. In fact, in 2000, they agreed that they would cut extreme poverty. I mean, that is, leaders of the world agreed that they will cut extreme poverty through an organization that they created called Millennium Development Goals. They will cut extreme poverty by half the extreme poverty that existed in 1990 by 2015. So that was the goal, to cut it by half, the extreme poverty that existed in 1990 by 2015.
And technically speaking, they met that goal, just not for Africa. And that's what Dr. Mezgina's book addresses. The simple truth of the matter is that population growth, lack of agricultural production, and lack of resource management, these are fixable things. Whether it be through improved education, better farming practices, and perhaps smarter management of water and livestock, the models and perspectives provided in Wold's book have great potential, and that should not be overlooked. And in order to implement his grand vision for a better sub-Saharan Africa in the future, Wold suggests that a lot of this burden should fall onto the governments.
How do you implement this? To implement this, I propose what I call a rural development authority. This rural development authority is part of the government, and it has to be a ministry or even higher than a ministry, because it is going to administer really 60-70% of the population in the rural countryside.
Dr. Mezgina's book, How Sub-Saharan Africa Can Achieve Food Security, is available for purchase online and on Amazon. For anyone interested or passionate about perspectives on how agriculture is integral to Africa, how farming practices can be better engineered, or how a positive future for Africa might become reality, I highly recommend it. I want to thank Dr. Mezgina again for interviewing with me. And you can check out all of my work and a full interview with Dr. Mezgina on kcsufm.com and on our SoundCloud page. I'm Laurel Turner from The Review, and you're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. This is the Rocky Mountain Review News Show.